Good morning, and welcome to Hopewell Presbyterian Church. I'm Brandon Jolly, the pastor, and it is a delight to worship with you this morning. You should have seen an announcement regarding what worship is going to look like for the rest of the month, and the Cliff Note version of that is this. This morning, the 17th, we're worshiping at home. On the 24th, we're going to worship at home one more time. On the 31st, then we are going to be able to gather here for worship as long as the data holds steady. And so we reserve the right, the session reserves the right to backtrack on that. But we are hopeful that on the 31st, for those of you that feel comfortable, then we can gather here for worship with some precautions. And we'll be letting you know what that's going to look like. Fair warning, the first Sunday back is going to feel and look a little different. I'm not sure to what extent. A lot of that depends on what happens between now and then. But it will be good to be together. Also want you to know, if you're uncomfortable with coming on the 31st, that's perfectly fine. Possibly even perfectly reasonable, depending on certain health complications. Know that that's okay. Know that we will have options for you to worship at home, online. We're going to continue to do that. We're making investments to hopefully be able to bring you live stream so that you can participate in the actual worship service. More updates on that to come as we work through that technology. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for hanging in there and your faithfulness to Hopewell. Now, as we do every Sunday, sit down. Put your mind at rest. Cut your phone off. Forget about the week that was and the fears and anxieties and hopes about what this next week will look like. Fix your mind on Christ and prepare your heart for worship.
Welcome to Hopewell. Please join me for our opening prayer. Give us, our Father, a sense of your presence as we gather now for worship. Grant us gratitude as we remember your goodness, penitence as we remember our sins, and joy as we remember your love. Enable us to lift up our hearts in humble prayer and fervent praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, please join me in our call to worship. Our help is in the name of our God, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp. How good it is to celebrate God's presence and sing praise throughout each day. How good it is to sing praise and give honor to our God. Our God rebuilds the people of the earth. The wandering ones are gathered together. The brokenhearted are healed. The hungry are fed. The prisoners are freed. The blind are given sight. The lonely are befriended. How good it is to sing praise and give honor to our God. All of nature sings aloud the goodness of God. Clouds, rain, grass, creatures great and small. Our God creates and sustains our world with his ever-growing, never-ending love. How good it is to sing praise and give honor to our God. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thou own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
1 John says that if we say we are without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins before God, he is faithful to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so with the confidence, please join me as we confess our sins before God and one another. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from the grave and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the way of the world and failed to give him glory. Forgive us, raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people. obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is the head of the church, his body. Amen. He walked out of the grave, the Lord of life. He conquered sin and death. We are set right with God and are given new life and called to walk with him in freedom from sin's dominion. Friends, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the beauty of your creation, for the signs of spring that abound, for the hum of tractors. Father, we pray for protection for the families in our community, for the farming families in our community. Protection as they navigate crowded roads and deal with impatient drivers. And we pray that you might grant them bountiful and profitable harvest, that they would be good stewards of your good gifts. Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all your children and bring about peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Father, we especially pray for those who govern nations, for state and local leaders, as they continue to balance public health with personal freedoms. We pray that you would grant us hearts filled with grace as they make difficult decisions in uncharted waters. Father, we pray for this church, for Hopewell. We pray that we'd be able to come back together as planned on the 31st, be able to worship together as a community of believers. We pray for those who are still unable to come out, those on self-imposed or otherwise locked down. We pray that they would feel the grace of your embrace, that they would know that they are not alone. Now, Father, we pray the prayer you taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the Old Testament reading, found in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from your anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
Well, this morning we continue our study to Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're in chapter 3, and we're going to read 3, 1 through 11. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The grass withers, the flower fades. God's word endures forever. Amen. We're like, what, 3 months into quarantine and I still haven't learned not to touch my face. So Paul, at this point, Paul's worked through the main part of his argument. An argument or a letter that started out of a genuine concern for the Colossian believers. A letter where he's encouraging them to walk with Jesus, to ignore the false teachers, and to be on guard for the unsanctified desires of their hearts, who are prone to fall prey to these false teachers. They had found real fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. They had found real satisfaction because of his work on the cross. He is sufficient because he is supreme, supreme over all things. The search for the Colossian believers was over, but the journey was just beginning. In chapter 3, really through verse 17, Paul's going to use this illustration of taking off the old and putting on the new. N.T. Wright writes that in the early church, it was frequently the case that a candidate for baptism would take off the old suit of clothes that they were wearing, and then after being baptized, they would be given a new set of clothes. Clothes covered in white. White to signify the purity of the new life that they were now entering. It's likely that that's the image that Paul has in mind when he's speaking here. Today we're going to examine what we must take off. Next week we'll look at the second half, what we are to put on. Having made the case that Jesus is supreme over all things and therefore sufficient, Paul continues his argument and follows it with what's the logical consequence of becoming a Christian. You've died to the ways of the world. So in chapter 3, he says, since you have been raised with Christ, well then, seek Christ. Seek the heavenly things. Set your minds on him, on Christ, not on earthly things. Just as Paul reasoned earlier that Christ is supreme and therefore sufficient, now he continues. You've died to the things of the world. You've been raised to new life in Christ, so root out the earthly things, the earthly desires. Take them off, put them away. Set your affections, tune your heart to Christ Jesus. Live for him. And this is work. Paul says, take it off. Put it to death. Now, Paul has already denounced legalistic asceticism. He's not backtracking and promoting it here. He's not encouraging a system of works-based righteousness. He's simply saying, follow the logic. The old you has died, the new you has been raised to Christ, so become in practice what you are in principle. And in principle, you are dead to sin and alive to Christ. Live in a manner compatible with a life in Christ. Root out the things that are incompatible. In the following verses, Paul issues 10 or so negative imperatives, consisting of two areas of life, two areas with great potential for good, but also great potential for evil: sex and speech. Paul lists practices which are abuses rather than proper use of these good gifts from God. And the way that we are to deal with our abuse of these gifts was quite clear. It's not pretending that they aren't sin. It's not a half-heartedly approaching them. And T. Wright concludes that these abuses, these sins, they're to be viewed as vermin who must not be allowed to set up shop in our house because they would poison the food or taint the water supply. They are not to be pitied and they are not to be ignored. They are to be killed off. They are to be put to death. Verse 5. Put to death those earthly things. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness. Those sexual sins that are listed include actions and they include thoughts. Actions, sexual immorality, which in a nutshell is all sex outside the protective hedge of the marital covenant. Marital covenant that consists of one man and one woman united together in a covenant relationship with Christ. We discussed this before. Sex is a pre-fall gift. A gift given to us by God, but one that is so important that God also gave us the protective hedge of the marriage covenant. Sex outside of marriage is an abuse of a beautiful gift. The remaining items are overlapping ways of referring to sexual lust. Sexual lust of all sorts and its gratifications outside of the good ordained context, God-ordained context of marriage. Wright draws attention to the fact that Paul labels greed, here presumably meaning sexual greed, as a form of idolatry, concluding that sexual fantasies are off-limit for the Christians, yes, because of the things that they might lead to, but primarily because they themselves are a form of idolatry, of worshiping a false god, seeking satisfaction in ways that cannot fulfill. Five more vices have to do with sins of speech: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Like sexual sin, these inflict serious damage on the one committing sin, on their target, and perhaps greater still, in the community in which they are a part of. Both of these, sexual sin and sins of speech, have laid waste to many a church. Both of these have done incalculable damage to the cause of Christ. And in every case, what ended up as a big deal started out as a small abuse of a beautiful gift from God. A second and sustained glance here, an unkind statement there, twisting of the truth. Abuse of these good gifts is sinful. Sin destroys, and so we must be putting these things to death. In verse 6, Paul issues some bad news. News that sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, malice, wrath, slander, obscene talk, and lying. News that against those things, the wrath of God is coming. God is holy, and he is just. Sin must be dealt with, and a manifestation of his holiness is his just wrath on sin. A price must be paid. But Paul doesn't stop with the bad news of verse 6. He gives us the good news of verse 7. God's wrath is coming against those things, but you're no longer those things. Verse 7, you were those things when you were living in them. A reminder in chapter 1, verse 13, Paul has declared that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness, that we have been transferred into the kingdom of the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. In 1 Corinthians 6, he writes similarly of this good news, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, Paul said. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Those old sins which marked you and claimed you and had you under bondage, well, you've been redeemed from that. And as if the news couldn't get even better, it does. The benefits of Christ's work, well, they're available to all who receive it. In the kingdom of the Son, old divisions are gone. Social, cultural, political, whatever. From Greek to Scythian, from socialite to backwood bubbas, thankfully. Scythians in Paul's day were regarded as the furthest away from anything approaching civilized. Paul wants everyone to understand that Jesus is king. He is active in everyone and indeed everything. Nothing lives outside of his sovereign rule. And also nothing is beyond the reach of his outstretched arms. It is a free gift, available to all who place their trust in him. Here's the danger. The danger is that we get really good identifying and helping other people kill their sin while we ignore our own. The only way this works is when we are honest with one another about our struggles. And when together we root them out. This means that we don't pretend that a veneer of morality equals salvation. We don't pretend that becoming a Christian means that we're no longer sinners. I've heard Christians say that. Back when I was a sinner. Bad news. Still a sinner in need of a Savior. The church should be And this church is working hard to be a safe space for us to work out our sanctification. Our sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit, where by His power, He works to conform us to conform our new selves in the likeness of Christ. Statistically speaking, we, the church, we don't look much better than the unchurched world when it comes to those list of vices that Paul has run down. Sexual promiscuity, porn, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, spousal abuse. They're in the church too. We're sometimes a little better at hiding it, which is precisely what Satan wants. But can you blame Christians? Because let's be honest, the church's track record over history is actually not real good. It's not real good at acknowledging the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior and that we are a work in progress. The good gift that the God has given us is the church. A family where we can come together and admit, not generally, but specifically, our need for a Savior. To lovingly help one another and support one another as we seek to root out the vestiges of that old life of the world. It is not surprising that we bring them with us. Think about it, Ephesians 2, walking around, dead in our trespasses and sin, just like the rest of mankind, and bam, the Spirit moves. We see our sin, we see our Savior. Just like that, we are justified. But there's a whole lot of work to do. So this morning, here's what I want you to know. Based on YouTube analytics and some really suspect math, there's 300, 400, 500 of you watching this. Many of you are carrying the weight of sin. Sin in general, but specific sin. You're struggling with alcohol. You're struggling with porn. Whatever it may be. What I want you to know is you don't have to struggle with that alone. In fact, you can't. You won't win. God has given you the gift of the church, a family who loves you, a pastor who will work with you. So hear this as a call to lay down the veneer, to come to Christ, to allow His Spirit, along with His family, to begin its sanctifying work in you. And there is no shame in that. The good news is that sin's power has been defeated. It may persist, it may hang on, but it has been defeated. And the same Spirit and the Spirit of the same one who saved you now dwells in you. And it is through His power that we are able to die to sin and to live for Him. Good and gracious God, we are thankful for the words from the Apostle Paul, for the knowledge that we can rest secure, knowing that the hard work has been done, that the battle has been won, that in Christ we have been freed from the bondage of sin. We've been redeemed by Him and in Him. And so now we can live in confidence confidently examining our lives and seeking out and rooting out those areas where we are not living according to Christ. Would you give us eyes to see those areas? Would you give us courage to attack them vigorously? And would you surround us with kind and compassionate people who will walk with us and gently nudge us in the right direction, in the direction of Christ? Father, press the knowledge of our redemption deep in our hearts so that we might live radically different lives in light of it, that we might approach a dark and lost world with boldness and confidence, and yet with grace, and knowing the debt that has been paid on our behalf, offering them the good news of the gospel. Father, we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Now, will you join with me as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our closing hymn is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Thank you for worshiping with us today. It's been a delight to be in your home and to worship with you. As a reminder, we'll be back online next week, and then on the 31st, our plan, our hope, is that we're going to be able to gather at Hopewell in the sanctuary and worship together once again. It'll look a little different. Information will be coming about how and what you'll need to do to participate in that service, But be in prayer about that. Be in prayer that that we're able to do that. I want to let you know about a couple of opportunities to serve. And be on the lookout for an email from me in the coming days. One of those is the Maura McCain Foundation, in honor of Maura McCain, who passed away about 2 years ago in an automobile accident. Maura was part of the 4-H club that met here, and her what would have been her 19th birthday is coming up. So in honor of that, the Maura McCain Foundation is collecting diapers for those in need. And so Hopewell is going to serve as a drop site. So between May 25th and May 31st, there'll be a pack and play out front of the church, and you can drop off new diapers in the pack and play. You can wait until the 31st when we gather and bring them if you'd rather do that too. Also, if you're still uncomfortable going out to the stores, and that's perfectly reasonable, you can make a cash or check donation, but I need to find out who you need to make the check to, so hold on that. Don't make it to Hopewell, but we'll work through those logistics, so stay tuned to your email. We continue to feed the nurses at the COVID unit. They continue to do good work. Your generosity has enabled us to do that, and so thank you. Also, watch out for some information on how you can participate with the food pantry, Interchurch Food Pantry, and also Johnson County Senior Services, and just a lot of good work going on in our community. And it's been my privilege to sit at the table with some of those folks doing that work. All right. Have a wonderful day. I look forward to worshiping with you soon. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in his peace. Amen. Thank you.